A most pleasant good morning to each one of you in our listening audience this morning. It's good to have you study together with us the unsearchable riches of God's eternal word. Your speaker is Robert Swain. The Seeds of Truth is brought to you each Saturday morning at 9:45 by the Rivermont Church of Christ, and we're located at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. I trust that you have your Bible, a pen, and some paper before you. And once again, if you have a question or a comment, please send them that we may together come to a better understanding of God's Word. In our study this morning, I wish to introduce a subject which may cover the next few broadcasts. It's a very important subject, one that needs studying. It's a subject that is much misunderstood in the religious world about us. There are many varied ideas and concepts about it, and I wish to study with you the subject of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to look at the subject from a number of areas. We shall discuss the question of who is the Holy Spirit, also how does the Holy Spirit communicate with man, what has the Holy Spirit communicated unto man, where is the Holy Spirit's communication, when is one led by the Holy Spirit. These and other questions we shall notice in the next few lessons. I trust that you will listen with open minds. By that I mean as far as humanly possible, please examine what shall be presented in the light of God's holy truth. And may we allow the Bible to teach us, and I might say only the Bible. You should not accept what I say just because I say it, neither should you accept what anyone else might say simply because they say it. But it's mandatory, essential, that we accept what God's Word says on any and every subject. To our study this morning. First, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is deity. He possesses the divine nature. The name of this divine nature is God. In the Hebrew, it is Elohim. In the Greek, it's Theos. In the English, it's God. There is but one God, because there is but one divine nature. And so Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." However, three distinct persons possess this divine nature: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a figure of speech called synecdoche, where a part of something is spoken of as the whole, or the whole as a part. And with reference to the term God, each of these is called God in the Scriptures. Often the Father is referred to as God, like in John 3:16. Sometimes the Son is called God, like in John 1:1, and then verse 14. And at other times the Holy Spirit is called God, like in Acts 5:3 and 4. So it's entirely correct to speak of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, since each person of the Godhead possesses the same nature, the nature of God. And because there is but one nature, there is but one God. And yet three distinct persons constitute the one God. The Holy Spirit is indeed deity. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not simply or solely or only an influence. There are many in the religious world who believe that the Holy Spirit is only an influence. That is just not so. He is as much of a person as is God the Father and Christ the Son. He is indeed a masculine personality. Listen to the words of Christ. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak. And he shall declare unto you the things that are to come," John 16 and 13. Again and again, the pronoun he, in reference to the Holy Spirit, appears, showing not only his personality, but his masculine personality. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. I just cannot overemphasize that fact too much. The Holy Spirit is a person, a part of the Godhead, deity. When we are able to get people to see that the Holy Spirit is a person, just as the Father is a person, just as the Son is a person, there would be an end to a lot of the confusion that has entered into the minds of so many in the religious world. So often the idea is expressed that the Spirit operates in a mysterious fashion by the exercise of influences apart from and independent of the Word of Truth, the Scriptures. But when we understand that the Holy Spirit is a person, much of this misunderstanding will be removed. And so when we ask, who is the Holy Spirit? The answer is, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is deity. The Holy Spirit had a part in the bringing of salvation into mankind. Our second question is, how does the Holy Spirit communicate? By communicate, I mean, how does the Holy Spirit reveal the message into mankind? The Holy Spirit communicates in the only way that communication can be effected, by means of signs, of ideas, by words. There are five ways in which impressions may be conveyed to another. These five senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, and smelling, are the ways by which we learn things. Since it's impossible to smell truth, to taste truth, or to feel truth, truth must be conveyed either by hearing or by seeing. Words are either heard by means of the ears or seen by use of the eyes. In no other way may intelligible communication be accomplished. I cannot stand before you and taste truth, nor feel truth, nor smell truth. If you are to impart anything to me, you must either speak so I can hear or write it down that I may see it. The Scriptures inform us that such is the manner or mode of the Holy Spirit's communication. In 2 Samuel 23 and 2, it reads, "The Spirit of Jehovah spoke by me, and His word was upon my tongue." And so the Holy Spirit communicated through David, and David became the Spirit's spokesman. This he did by speaking. The communication was accomplished by words. David's tongue was the instrument by which the communication was accomplished. Listen to 1 Timothy 4 and 1. "But the Spirit saith expressly that in latter times some shall fall away from the faith." The King James Version of this passage is, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith." The Spirit thus informed of impending apostasy. How did he do that? Through speaking. By what means was the revelation accomplished? Through words. How did the Spirit communicate to Paul the message these words contain? By speaking expressly, that is, speaking plainly and clearly. It's essential that mankind understand this obvious biblical truth regarding the manner or mode of the Holy Spirit's influence. If people can understand that the only way in which the Holy Spirit ever did influence us, through intelligent communication involving use of words, no longer will the denominational concept that the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs through one's hunches or one's imitations or one's so-called inner feelings be acceptable. Let me make it as clear as I possibly can. How does the Holy Spirit communicate unto mankind? Through words. Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches," Revelations 2 and 11. The Holy Spirit has communicated to man through the selected and inspired apostles. Let's listen to the Apostle Paul on this. "But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among us knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words." 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 13. By looking at this passage, a number of things seem to be very clear. I wonder if you can see those things. First, a revelation of God has been made to man. Second, this revelation was made through the Spirit. Thirdly, as one man does not know what is in the mind of another until it is made known through words, So we do not know what is in God's mind until he reveals it. This, my friends, emphasizes that a revelation was essential in order for man to know the mind of God, and that this revelation was made through words. Fourthly, Paul and other inspired men were chosen vessels of God through whom the Spirit made known this revelation. And then fifthly, this revelation was made in the words of the Spirit, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. Did you notice that? And so clearly indicating that the inspiration of the Bible is verbal. By this I mean that the Spirit did not say, Paul, you write about baptism, and then Paul would write his thoughts about baptism. Oh, no. When Paul or any other inspired man wrote, the Spirit gave the exact words which they wrote or spoke. Then sixthly, the Holy Spirit, through inspired men, combined spiritual things with spiritual word. That is, put the things, a matter of revelation, with the words, the method of expressing thought, so that communication might be made. Let me make this point very clear. The Spirit spoke. The medium of communication was words, and this is the way or manner of revelation. The Spirit spoke in words. Man then, in turn, told or wrote the message to others. So revelation from God to men was accomplished. By whom was it done? The Holy Spirit. How did the Holy Spirit do it? By means of words. Through whom did the Holy Spirit reveal? By words, the things of God to man. Through inspired writers. Did the Holy Spirit originate any truth not already planned by the Father and the Son? No. As we've seen in John 16 and 13, the Spirit shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall speak, these he shall speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. These words were addressed to the apostles. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, the will of the Lord would be revealed to them. The Spirit would declare only that which had been delivered to him from the Lord to pass on to the inspired writers. And so the Holy Spirit's work was not to originate truth, but to reveal it or to transmit it through words. The message of salvation has never been given by hunches or inner feelings or imagination, but by means of words. Words passed on to us through inspired men. Words, the vehicles of thought. It has never been done in any other way because there is simply no other way. I see that our time has escaped us this morning, and so we must put a peg just here and encourage you to tune in again next week to the Seeds of Truth to study again this most important subject on the Holy Spirit. We invite you to come worship with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study and at 11 a.m. and at 6 p.m. for worship services, and again on Wednesday evening at 7:30 for Bible study. Until next week, I bid you a pleasant good morning.